Todd Allman knows his way around Cincinnati. He's a grad of UC's College Conservatory of Music, where he studied music and did a lot of theater when he was here back in the 1990s. I saw him first time in a Cincinnati staging of Tony Kushner's Angels in America that was about 2 decades ago. And then he appeared in multiple productions at Ensemble Theater Cincinnati, including memorable renditions of Hedwig and the Angry Inch and I Am My Own Wife. He's an active participant in New York City's music and theater scene these days. He works with lots of folks whose names you'd know. I'll just mention Courtney Love right now. But he's back in Cincinnati and returning to the role that he's likely most remembered for by local theater fans, and that's Hedwig, a transgender rock star from East Germany. This evening, he's with me in the WVXU studio to talk about what's drawn him back to town. Welcome, Todd.
Hi, Rick. Thanks.
So, for those who don't know the show, maybe we should give them a quick sketch of what's the story.
Well, the conceit is that you're at a concert by this performer named Hedwig and her band, The Angry Inch. So, it's one of those wonderful pieces that has a plot and then a plot within the plot, because you're essentially just watching a concert unfold. And there's an outside force that keeps interrupting the concert. But throughout the concert, you learn the history of Hedwig, who was this young boy living with his mother in communist East Berlin and sort of dreaming of getting out. I'll try not to give too many spoilers.
Sure.
Falls in love with an American soldier, or what he thinks is love, more a way out. Gets married pretending to be a woman. Then finds himself in a trailer park in a small town in Kansas as the wall is actually coming down. So I won't reveal what happens in Hedwig's backstory beyond that. But you're watching this kind of one spectacular night unfold and learning all of this about Hedwig.
So, and it is a musical.
It is a musical.
Obviously a rock musical.
Yes.
With music that will most likely make people think of 70s, early 80s, but it has a lot more to it than
that. I think it's that vein of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars and Lou Reed. But the show was written in the late 90s, so it has that stamp on it as well, but with that reverence for the source material.
The show has been an award winner in just about every incarnation that it has appeared in, off-Broadway as a Broadway revival. It's been a movie. John Cameron Mitchell, who is sort of the originator of the piece, was in many of those, but it did very well in Cincinnati, too, in 2001 and 2003. Mm-hmm. You played the role at Ensemble Theater, and now you're back to do that again.
So this is our third time doing it, like you said, and we always take a fresh approach to it. I mean, the 2001 production was very different from the 2003, and this production you'll see is very different again, because it's one of those pieces that feels relevant every time you do it. It doesn't feel dated. It always feels that it's happening right now, and it has something to say about today.
I should also mention that back in 2001 and 2003, Over the Rhine, where Ensemble Theater is based, was a very different place.
Yeah.
And it was a struggle to keep the theater open back then because of the riots that happened in 2001. And it was before much of the contemporary redevelopment of that neighborhood has happened. Lynn Myers, who's the artistic director there and who's directed those productions and is directing this production, often says that it was this show that saved the theater. It kept people coming when they might not have otherwise made the effort to go to the neighborhood. So you must feel some particular attachment.
I love that. I mean, I love that the story of an outsider who feels like they don't have a home or that their home is being compromised in some way, or the struggling for identity, would find such a place in a downtown area that was really struggling for identity. I think that's great.
The show, it's been performed worldwide.
Yeah.
I mean, I came across a list of where productions have been in the UK, Austria, Brazil, Canada, Czech Republic, Germany, Italy, Mexico, Netherlands, Thailand, Turkey. I mean, it's hard to imagine. What is it about Hedwig and the Angry Inch that you think translates so well to these productions everywhere?
Well, I mean, first of all, Hedwig is pretty fabulous. I mean, she's just an amazing character.
Yes.
So it's a lot like seeing an actual rock star, I think. Mm. And the music is perfect. Stephen Trask wrote a score that I think is absolutely flawless. It's thrilling. It's a little burlesque or something. You know, it's got this late night naughty quality or something. I think people are just really drawn to the over-the-top fabulous. It's not quite drag, but it's in that world. So it's one of those shows that allows people to let go of their inhibitions, because here's this character in front of you who's just larger than life and going through it for you. So
I wonder if maybe you'd say a little bit about why you've come back. I mean, mm-hmm. you did the show here twice. It's been quite a while. You were somewhat younger when you did that. And I know that you've mentioned that maybe you were a little young for the role then, and now you're certainly of an age that's appropriate for the role. But also, this production is a sort of a reunion too. So maybe you'd like to say a little bit about what's drawn you back.
I have, over my career, built relationships with artists and theaters and artistic directors around the country. And so I always want to return to the people that I feel that I make good art with. And so I consider Lynn and the ensemble one of those institutions. And also the folks, Beth and the band, and Billy Olitzhauser and Sam Womelsdorf and Andrew Smithson. It's a group of artists that I long to be around, and I've worked with them a lot over the years, actually. I've done more with the musicians. We stay in touch. We record songs together, and it just seemed like the right time for me to come back and tackle this piece. I knew when we did it, originally, I could see into the future. I thought, oh, when I'm a little bit older, I'll be better at this. Just because there's a world-weary aspect to Hedvig that, you know, when you're 24, you just don't quite have. So I've been curious to know, oh, okay, all right. I mean, what does it feel like now? What do I know even on a subconscious level that I didn't know then?
You've been on stage with John Cameron Mitchell, mm-hmm. who originated the role. Do you want to say a little bit about working with him?
Yeah, we've done all sorts of little things together. You know, Joe's Pub at the Public Theater had this big renovation several years ago, and it's an amazing place. I perform there a lot, and it's one of the great institutions in New York City. Before the renovation, it was kind of scrappier. And we used to do these late night, I mean, I remember one particular New Year's Eve where we were, until the sun came up, it was me and John and Scott Matthew and Justin Vivian Bond and Taylor Mack, like just that entire downtown Weimar, New York crew doing what is very much in the vein of Hedvig, like doing these big bombastic numbers that have so much history behind them because they're straight from either like Weimar Germany cabaret type song or from that great singer songwriter glam rock 70s to the 80s to the 90s. So I just feel like those guys, like John, they're so carrying that torch. And so we did a lot of that kind of thing. There was a Weimar, New York was a tent down on South Street Seaport in New York, and we would do, I mean, these insane cabarets I was playing for, like, strippers and then, like, John and Bridget Everett. And, you know, I mean,
In a sense, then, Hedvig and the Angry Inch has sort of kept the home fires burning for a lot of that kind of material.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been back in town recently as last fall working on a show that you wrote.
Yes.
I mean, you have such a diverse career. I mean, you write, you act, you sing, you direct, you play music for, you write, you compose music. Last fall, though, you were back at University of Cincinnati with a show that you've written for students. And that went well. And where is that going now?
It went great. They had commissioned me to write this play for their playwriting festival, this brand new festival that Brant Russell started. And then Richard Hess decided to produce and direct the show for the students. And it was so thrilling to come back and watch them. They did an amazing job, I thought. And you know, I had the secret satisfaction of hearing them say the little jokes that reminded me of being in college, that maybe they wouldn't even understand why I think that particular word or sentence is funny. So I had a pretty transformative experience watching that. But yeah, the play lives on. Samuel French is publishing it, and we're hard at work. I want more colleges to do it. I feel like it's the perfect... When I was in college, I wished that there had been more plays where we could just be our own age instead of, you know, playing someone much older. You have to do that. And if you're going to do the canon of great American theater works, then that's what you do. But I like the idea of young people doing a play about young people, and there are only young people in it.
Well, back to Hedvig, it's going to kick off this week at Ensemble Theater Cincinnati. It will be on stage through July 1st. For more information about the show, you can follow the link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I've been talking with Todd Almond, who's back in Cincinnati for his third take on this award-winning musical. Thanks for taking time for this conversation.
Thanks, Rick.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.
Rain falls, heart burns dry, a dream or a song that hits you so hard, filling you up, silently gone.